The Oregon Ducks basketball programs are starting to make some noise in the Pac-12. Dan Lanning has already hit the recruiting trail, offering and re-offering some top recruits for 2022 and 2023. We're discussing it all on today's episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast. Thanks for making this your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc, the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, former Pac-12 student athlete, and joining me today is Spencer McLaughlin from Locked On Ducks. Spencer, your Ducks are over there trying to disrupt the game in basketball. What's going on?
They are having quite a stretch here over the last few days. And as we record this, there is a potential for it to get even crazier. But I tell you what, there have been some low points over the last couple months for Oregon fans with regards to the major sports. But this doesn't happen to be one of them right now. Over the last 5 days, Duck fans feeling really, really good about where basketball is going.
I'm loving that for you because I don't feel like Oregon typically has good teams, yes. And when Sabrina Ionescu was there and, you know, the men's team, they've always been somewhat in the talks, but never necessarily the absolute top, except for the women's. Women's, they were obviously the top at one point. So starting the season off, it was a little murky for them, a little shaky, and kind of looking like it would be a rough season for the basketball teams following the rough ending for the football team. But things have turned around quite a lot. We can start off with the men's program and talk about those two major upsets that they've had within the Pac-12 conference play. First, starting off with UCLA. I don't know if it gets any bigger than that. When it comes to Pac-12 basketball, everyone knows UCLA's name, always in the March Madness, you know, tournament, top Final Four, whatever the case may be. And that team was returning a lot of the same players from last season. So expected to, you know, really dominate the Pac-12, and we're not quite seeing that happen. Oregon pulled off that upset. For you as a fan, analyst, all of that, what does that mean like for this program?
Well, the win was sort of a wake-up call to Duck fans to kind of put Oregon basketball back into the front of their minds, because I think a lot of us had, you know, sort of had it in the rear view at this point because of how the season had been going. And it was unusual for a Dana Altman coach team to lose the way they did early in the season. They got smacked by BYU, and then next time out against Houston, they got smacked again. And those are two very good teams. BYU is a tournament caliber team. Houston, I believe, is still ranked in the top 15. So they weren't losing to just anybody, but it's how they lost. It's that the game was never competitive. You know, the loss to St. Mary's was uncharacteristic. There were just bad losses in there. And Dana Altman coach teams for Oregon men's basketball have historically gotten off to kind of slow starts. That's not what is uncharacteristic, but they play their best basketball typically at the end of the year, which is when you want to be playing their best your best basketball. But this year, the slow start was more sluggish than normal. You know, like if usually the start of the season is running through cement, it was an extra thick mixture of cement this year that they were trying to get through, because it wasn't just they were losing, but they were losing bad. But now all of a sudden they came out and they took it to UCLA, and they tried to give that game away. I don't know if you watched it, Cindy, but they tried really hard. They wanted to give it back to the Bruins. It kind of looked like at the end.
I mean,
it was brutal. The two turnover. I mean, it's a 6-point Oregon lead with 35 seconds left, and you end up going to overtime, and UCLA didn't have to make a single 3-pointer. That was excruciating to watch. But I actually think in retrospect, the way that that whole game played out is going to be good for this Oregon team going forward. And I think they're convincing win against USC sort of proved that. Because when you have a team like Oregon this year that came in with preseason expectations, they were a top 15 team in the country. I think they were 12th to begin the season. They got a nice early win against SMU, and then they fell off the map. But when you have that sort of hype and then you fall down as far as they did, losing to a couple of really not great Pac-12 teams in Stanford and Arizona State, the ASU loss was especially bad. When you hit basically rock bottom for the talent level that this team has, that is rock bottom for them, losing to ASU, and I'm pretty sure that was at home, you need something to galvanize the locker room. And that win against UCLA, getting the win was important, number one. But the fact that they were able to have the game in their grasps, lose it, and then come back in overtime,
right,
and make their first four shots, eventually get a stop, and ultimately get a win on the road, I think that honestly is the best possible outcome for Oregon. Not just winning the game, but instilling a culture of belief and having those moments to hold on to for each of those players, I think was really important for Oregon going forward. Now, as a fan, I would have preferred they just won in regulation because
Not right if it's not giving you a little bit of a heart attack now. You got it. It's early March Madness. You know what I mean? They're giving it to you in January.
Yeah, I guess so. They wanted to provide a little extra drama, and they certainly did that. But I thought that that was, you know, a really phenomenal win. And then to back it up with the game that they played against USC, easily their best all-around game of the year, was a really encouraging thing to see. And that has to have Duck fans feeling really optimistic about where Dana Altman has his team headed come March. There's still a ways to go, and right, they still have to have a good enough body of work to get in without making the NCAA tournament. But a couple of top five road wins, it bolsters the resume for sure.
For sure, and especially against the top two teams in the conference. That is a big help. Shout out to Dana Altman, who got his 700th career win as a Division I coach against UCLA. Doing great things over there. They will face Washington State on Thursday. That's their next game at home. So, Duck fans, I don't know if they're allowing a general public to come view the games, because I know some arenas aren't right now.
I think that was a California schools thing, okay, because Oregon had fans for the women's game when they upset number seven Arizona on Saturday, which was another awesome game that I'm sure.
Which we're going to get into coming up next. We're not going to leave the women out. We can't, because they're amazing, doing great things, and deserve the recognition as well. So we'll get touch on them coming up right next. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good. You'll want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or just tastes terrible. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. And by like week three, you might be thinking, this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They're low in calories, low in sugar, low in net carbs, but high in protein. And comparing that to a candy bar, you already know it doesn't compare. Here's an idea for the new year. Go ahead and get rid of all your secret stashes with all the, like, you know, candy, bad treats and all of that, and replace them with Built Bar. That way you have something healthy and it tastes incredible as well, right at your fingertips. On top of Built Bar being so healthy, it's full of different flavors: coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, the list goes on. Make sure you guys check out built.com for their new limited time flavors. They're always offering some new different variations, so you got to keep checking to see what's new. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thanks for making Locked On Pac-12 Podcast your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Okay, Spencer. So we're talking Pac-12 basketball, Oregon Ducks, and we cannot talk basketball and only talk the men. We've done football, where football is only a men's sport. There's women out there that would love to play, but it's only a men's sport in NCAA. But when it comes to basketball, Oregon Ducks women are typically one of the top teams being talked about when it comes to Pac-12 conference. And so how they're playing now is living up to their reputation from the past. They just took down number seven, Arizona. And Arizona is one of the top teams in the Pac-12. They're not at the very top because right now the Pac-12 standings are kind of weird. Some of that is due to Pac-12 women not playing as many games yet, games getting postponed, rescheduled. Colorado is sitting at the top awkwardly. And it looks like I'm out of there. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, I got you. I thought it said my connection was going out, so I thought I was by myself. Sorry, sometimes the connection issues, and I thought they had left Spencer by himself. Anyways, back to us saying Colorado was at the top, and then there's like Stanford and stuff, but Arizona's still one of those top teams, and that is a huge win for the Oregon Ducks women. Now they're getting ready to play an even tougher opponent in UConn, who I would say, even though they're not the same UConn team they've been in the past, they've already taken an L or two, I think, this season. They're still a top team and a tough opponent. So going into this matchup off of the big win against Arizona, how do you think their confidence is set up?
Well, a bad UConn women's basketball team is like saying it's a bad Alabama football team. They're still going to make a New Year's Six Bowl and be one of the best teams in the country. So it's not really saying a lot. You know, UConn women's basketball is down. It's like you just got to think to yourself, well, is Gino Auriemma still their coach? The answer is yes. All right, they're going to be really good. Doesn't matter if their best player is out. Like they're just going to be good. That's the way that this works. But I think the women's basketball team has to have a tremendous amount of confidence. And they picked up a blowout win against Cal, and they won that one 88-53. They'd gotten some players back from injury who are getting reintegrated into the lineup. And I think that they're starting to have, honestly, a very similar trajectory to what we see on the men's side. And they came into this season, the Oregon women did, with a good amount of hype, and they were a top 15 program. And they've just had some bumps along the way. But right now, they look to be really hitting their stride. And I talked about in the UCLA men's game for the Ducks how important it was for that locker room to be able to, you know, blow it late, but then come together in overtime and get the win. Mm-hmm. That does more than you can ever see in a box score for a team's ability to achieve at a high level. And when you look at what the Oregon women did in this game, I think it's a similar sort of thing. They were down 17 points at home to a very good team. And that's how a lot of people probably thought the game was going to go. They were down 17 points in the third quarter, not in the first half, and they came back. They were down 17 in the third quarter. They came all the way back, forced overtime. It was a really exciting game, but to be able to overcome a deficit like that against a team like that in a season like the one they've been having thus far, which has been a little bit of a disappointment to this point, it again feels like that UCLA win for Oregon, where you start to, you know, kind of poke your head over the table or bookshelf or whatever object you want to put in this weird metaphor I've got working, like, and be like, whoa, so what's going on over there? Like, what are you doing? How did you get this win? That's a pretty big time statement win. And if they're able to beat UConn, it'll be exactly like the men beating USC. That will be a definitive statement of, yeah, we're here and we're back and we're the Oregon that you know in this conference, because there are teams in this conference that just see Oregon on either side and know, oh, that's going to be a good team. That's going to be a tough place to play. And I want to take time to give a shout out to both of these coaches, Kelly Graves for the women and Dana Altman for the men. You talk about two of the best all-around coaches in college basketball, and everything I know about them is that they're tremendous guys as well. But there are not a lot of programs in the country that have a head coach on one side and on the other who have as much success as these two guys have. I mean, both have been to Final Fours, won Pac-12 championships. They compete year in and year out, and they have just had tremendous runs in Eugene. And, you know, I've been an Oregon fan my whole life, and I remember the Ernie Kent days. I mean, there were a lot of good ones in there, but then it ended, and this guy from Creighton named Dana Altman came in, and he has just been a home run hire. And I am thrilled that Oregon has been able to keep him around. I credit Rob Mullins and the athletic administration for being able to keep them here and really build Oregon into, you know, perennial contenders in college basketball. And, you know, I always feel bad for Coach Graves that the year the tournament got canceled, that was rough because that team with Sabrina on it and Sabali on it.
Yep.
That team was, man, they were going to have a chance. You can't guarantee anything. You don't know what was going to happen, but that team was legit in so many ways. It felt like a once in a decade or even 25 year talent team. I mean, both of them were top 10 picks in the NBA draft. Sabrina, of course, went number one. You just don't have that much talent on a team very often. And so it sucks they were not able to compete in that year, because I think they could have done something really, really special. They had a great chance to get to the national championship game. But those two coaches, Oregon fans, we have to learn to appreciate them. And we do. I think Oregon fans do. But you should just never let up with that. Because when
Doubt them, guys. Don't doubt them. Don't get a little shaky.
And I, to Oregon fans' credit, I haven't seen that with Dana Altman at any point this year where people are like, oh, is his time over? Or like, is it just time? No, I haven't seen that anywhere. And there shouldn't be, because these two guys are proven winners year in and year out. And in college basketball, that's such a hard thing to do. It is tremendously difficult because of the amount of turnover you've got, but it's a testament to their ability to be high level coaches at the NCAA level that they've done it for this long. And I hope they stick around as long as they want.
Yeah. Okay, so if the Ducks win today, and we're talking about the women, they would be the only team in the country with an active winning streak against UConn. And it gets even crazier than this. Oregon could be just the third program in the last 10 years to have two straight wins against UConn. And to make matters even deeper, they'd be the seventh in the last 20 years and 13th in the last 35 years. Basically, we're just trying to explain how great UConn is and how big of a deal this game is. Oregon Ducks, I think, are ready and prepared. Coming off that win against Arizona is for sure going to be a confidence booster walking into this matchup. And just in the mindset, knowing like you can compete against the best, you're just as good and as talented. So excited to see what happens there. We're definitely going to have you on to talk about that game. Just what happens and like the details. Hopefully we're celebrating a win, because a win for Oregon is a win for Pac-12, right?
yeah, exactly. And if they win against UConn, the men and women's basketball teams for Oregon will have gone 4-0 in a 5-day stretch against top 10 opponents. And that I haven't seen anything like that before. Coming into the weekend, I was thinking, you know, if they can go 2-2, you know, one win on each side, that would be great. And the fact that they've started 3-0 has exceeded my expectations and given me that renowned sense of hope and optimism about what they could do this season once again. And there's a reason. And by the way, you're talking about those tidbits about the women's side. The men made history when they beat USC. Since the Pac-12, then the Pac-8, conference formed in 1964-65, since the original merger, Oregon is the first team in the conference to win two top five road games against conference opponents, and they are the first team in the NCAA to accomplish that feat, where you beat two top five teams on the road in a 5-day span since Clemson did it in 1975 and the 75-76 season. That is how long it has been since anyone has done something like that. And fans or no fans, those were tremendous wins for Oregon. And hopefully they turn it around and it, you know, gives them a booster on a rocket ship and just propels them right to where they want to go.
I love it. I love it. All right, coming up next, we're going to shift gears and talk about football. You know, it's never over, so we still have a lot to talk about there. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games? Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Okay, so football season is officially over, but that just opens up recruiting season. The offseason is usually full of trying to fill in those gaps of where they need to improve going into the next season, but even starting to look beyond that. We know football tend to send out offers years in advance. They already have their eyes on athletes for 2023, 2024, and et cetera, et cetera. I know with getting a new head coach, some of those athletes that received offers from Mario Cristobal and his team probably had concerns about if that offer still stood with Dan Lanning coming in. And some of those received another offer again over the weekend from Dan Lanning himself. So some of those I want to talk about because there's a lot of four-star, five-star recruit names in the mix. And I felt like they were definitely worth discussing, getting Duck fans excited to see that, you know, these names are still being talked about to join the Oregon Ducks. So first on the list is Caleb Presley out of Seattle, Washington. He goes to Rainier Beach. He's a four-star recruit. He'd be considered class of 23, though. So he's like the eighth cornerback. I'm trying to think, I guess nationally, ranked nationally eighth quarterback. And then in Washington, he's number two. So clearly a big name for that area. Do you have any thoughts on him?
I think that he would add his name to the list of guys who have gotten offers from Dan Lanning and the staff on the defensive side of the ball. And I haven't done a total number tally.
Okay.
But from what I have seen, it seems like most of the offers are coming on that side.
Yeah.
Which I think for Oregon fans is a good thing because that's Dan Lanning's calling card, right? Is he's a former defensive coordinator. So if he's able to get these offers out there and get guys to at least show a level of interest, if not ultimately get them to commit, to me what that says is he's got a clear vision of what he wants to build at the University of Oregon, and he already knows how to sell it to these recruits and not sell it in a bad way, sell it in a good way. But, you know, those are the sorts of players, you know, four- and five-star guys that – he was able to bring in at Georgia to build a monstrous defense that just won the national championship. And that's what Oregon wants to see. So every time, you know, I see those sorts of offers, I forgot his name, but there was a five-star defensive end who visited Oregon the other day. Duck fans should expect to continue to see that level of player coming around the University of Oregon under the Dan Lanning administration.
You talking about Jaden Wayne?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah, so you're right about that as far as like him recruiting heavily on the defensive side and looking ahead to what's coming up next. Some of those other names, just to add in there, I'll run through them for the class of 23, would be Josiah Wagner out of Spanaway, Washington. He goes to Spanaway Lake. He's a four-star recruit, cornerback. Javian Toviano, I think that's how you say his name. He's another cornerback out of Texas, class of 23. He's a five-star. Another cornerback, Malik Muhammad, class of 23, four-star. And then Jaden Wayne, defensive lineman from Tacoma, Washington, five-star for class of 23. And then Kelby Collins, another four-star D lineman. And then offensively, he started to look more for the offensive line. Offensive tackle, class of 23 out of Lakeland, Florida. His name is Janoris Wilson. He doesn't have, I don't think he has like, you know, how many stars he has. They don't have it listed. But I feel like he is trying to get ahead and work where he knows his strengths are. And like you said, defensively, that's easy for him. I wonder when it comes to the offensive side, what the plan will be to, you know, really attract recruits in that aspect.
Yeah, and that's something that offensive coordinator Kenny Dillingham is going to have to do very well. And it's not that defensive coaches can't sell offensive players on the school, but you're more likely to get a high-level skill guy or offensive lineman to come when he's talking to a member of the offensive staff, right? Because it's easier to sell that vision and say, like, this is what we're going to do, this is what we want to do, and this is how I call, this is how I do this. That, I think, establishes that relationship a little bit better than when you're crossing sides of the ball. And that tends to be how coaches recruit as well. But just looking at the roster for 2022, Oregon is set other than the quarterback position, which is, you know, of course, the most important. Other than that small little detail, they're set on that side of the ball, whether Travis Dye comes back to Oregon or not. They've got receivers. They've got a great offensive line. I love the tight end room. There's great running back depth. I mean, they're totally good on that side of the ball. And there's a lot of young guys there too. So they can be secure on that side going forward for the next couple of years.
I feel like really quick, I have to ask you before I let you go. Any interest or thoughts about the possibility of Jackson Dart coming to Oregon?
I'm not opposed. So when Caleb Williams put his name in the portal, I did a whole segment on one of the episodes of Locked On Ducks where I said, yeah, Oregon should be interested. Would it be weird after bringing in Bo Nix to bring in another transfer quarterback to compete? Yeah, it would be weird. But Dan Lanning has made it very clear. They told Bo Nix when they brought him over, and I mean, this is what they're saying publicly, privately, possible, it's different. But Dan Lanning has made it very clear. There's going to be competition at every position. Quarterback is included in that. And Bo Nix is going to have an opportunity to compete. And I think Bo Nix is capable of doing good things. If they can maximize his talent, he could win at a high level. He's already won a good number of games in his college football career playing in the SEC. And I think he'd have better support around him in Oregon than he had this past year at Auburn. But Jackson Dart is a tremendously talented guy out of the state of Utah. And I am really impressed with him. And Bo Nix has 2 years of eligibility left. Dart would have 3. If they could get him, I bet you Dart would be able to beat out Bo Nix for the starting job because he's mobile, he's got a strong arm, and he knows how to sling it as well. And it would be a good competition. It'd be a fun competition. And, of course, you have the 5-star Ty Thompson in there with 4-star Jay Butterfield after Robbie Ashford, the quarterback, has transferred. So there's a lot that could happen there, but on the surface – no, I'm not opposed because I, as a Duck fan, I want the best players that we can get. And I want us to have the best chance to win because that's the goal. And if that means bringing in another transfer to compete who ends up getting the starting job, I'm totally, totally fine with that. But
it is what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't really care how the sausage is made. I've eaten sausage my whole life. It's great food. It's great food. Like, I don't really care how it's made. I don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can try and tell me, like, oh, it's terrible. Yeah, well, guess what? I'm still going to eat it. But speaking of transfers, by the way, one name that Duck fans should look out for who just a couple of hours ago put his name in the transfer portal is wide receiver Chase Kota. It was a 4-star guy coming out of Medford High School in Southern Oregon. He was at UCLA playing for Chip Kelly. His role in the offense diminished a little bit this year, so he's gone into the portal. His dad, Chad Kota, played football at the University of Oregon. Okay. And Chase grew up in Medford, which is the southernmost part of Oregon, and is just a few hours from Eugene. Oh. I don't know this for sure, but I could almost guarantee you he grew up going to Duck games because that's where dad played. And that was where he was not very far from. So that's a name at the wide receiver position that has a lot of talent, but also has a lot of youth, and you can never have too much depth at any position. That would be a name I think Oregon should look to target.
All right. Well, exciting times. We're seeing so much going on in the transfer portal. Again, a lot to talk about in the offseason. You think football's over, but it's never really over.
There's no such thing as the offseason.
At all. So make sure you guys check out Locked On Ducks. Spencer is making sure you stay up to date on everything going on with Ducks athletics. And that includes women's sports. For some of you that, you know, feel like that's not covered enough, we're making sure that we're providing that for you. So check him out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow Locked On Pac-12 podcast on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. Follow on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And then you can follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12 and then at Locked On Ducks for the Locked On Ducks podcast. You can follow Spencer personally at @Smalls_55. And yeah, make sure you guys continue to make Locked On Pac-12 your first listen of the day. And then make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms, like all the podcasts. And yeah, other than that, stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.